want to read to you this morning from St. Matthew, chapter 22, beginning with verse 36. There was a multitude gathered before Jesus, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had been trying to trap him, to trip him up, to prove that he didn't have the truth. And they couldn't do it up to this point. So one of them said to him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now this is a tremendous commandment. This is the greatest instruction which the Christ gave. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And he said that this was the first and the greatest commandment. Now there are few people in this world who do exactly that. It is too bad that this is so. But I think it is because they have been trained incorrectly, and they have not realized what it means to love the Lord with all of their heart, with all of their mind, with all of their soul, and all of their strength. To love the Lord with all of your heart means that you love Him above yourself, your little self, above everyone else on earth. This applies to your husband, your wife, your children, your father, your mother, your sweetheart, your friends. God must come first, because without Him, none of us can do anything, we cannot think anything, and we cannot say anything. He is the source of everything that we term as our very self inside. And yet how little attention we give to that Lord. We do not count our blessings every day. We do many things, think many things, say many things, which are certainly wrong in His sight according to His law. And yet we expect good things out of our life. We expect people to love us, to be our friends, to do things for us. But what do we give in return? It is one thing to say that you give love to an individual and to do everything you can for that individual. And many times, this accomplishes many great things in the lives of those to whom we give. But we have made a mistake in doing this because we have given to the individual, we have done for the individual, instead of to God in the individual. We have put the individual before God. And this is where the error comes in. Why? We have not gotten sometimes the reaction, the result that we want. No man, no woman, no child will ever be a success in life, will ever be fulfilled, will ever find peace and happiness, until each one of us puts God first. And we are not looking for a stranger. What we are trying to find when we say, I want to realize my oneness with God, is our very self, our real self. For every thought, word, and action that comes or that goes forth from us, there is a corresponding reaction, and we must remember that. I have said to you many times that if you plant the seed of a weed will grow. And if you plant the seed of a rose, you will have a beautiful rose. So whatever you give out in thought, word, or deed to other people, that in turn will return to you a thousandfold. And you'd better believe it, because this is the law of God. You can say to yourself, this isn't going to happen to me. And you can go on your own merry little way, breaking all of the laws of God. The Ten Commandments, which are there very specifically, very definitely, for us to follow. But as sure as you break a law of God, as sure as you do or say or think something against someone else, that will return to you in kind and with interest. It is a terrible thing to give hate. I would like to read to you this morning, I think, one of the greatest prayers that was ever written. And it is a way of life. It is a way to help us to fix our full attention upon God and to love Him with all of our hearts, with our minds, with our souls, and with our strength. It was a prayer of St. Francis. And this is what he said. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That is a tremendous thing. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. It doesn't make any difference how much someone hate you. Give them love in return, not to the individual, but to God in them. During my trip this summer, I spent the busiest 3 months that I have spent in a long, long time. And I had about every situation to deal with that can possibly happen when you're a minister of God. And some of them were very, very difficult. And I came across one situation that was not only difficult, but dangerous. And as I sat across the table from this individual who was very psychologically disturbed, who was an alcoholic, who had been trained in killing in every way, I was getting the full vibration of all that this man stood for in the human sense, and it wasn't very good, I can assure you. But he was a beautiful man, very well educated, highly intelligent, and yet, he had permitted this to happen to him of his own free will. Always we have our own free will. And he had permitted this to happen. So, as I sat there getting this full vibration from him, all of a sudden I said to within myself, to God, I can't go on receiving this. I must put into action the things that I know, the things that I believe, and the things that I teach. Lord, I must see you in him, and I must give you my love. And so I made every effort to put that forth, because that vibration was so great. And all of a sudden, all over my whole body, my whole being, came a feeling of love such as I had never experienced in my life. It was tremendous. It just flooded me. And I knew that the things that I had realized, that I had taught, and that I tried to live were indeed true. That if you love the Lord with all of your heart, you see Him in every form that stands before you, in every atom of space. You cannot do things against God in other people. Whatever Jesus said again, whatever ye have done unto the least of me, ye have done unto me. So that means that when you do something mean or hateful or ugly to somebody else, you have actually done it to the Christ. Now when you stop to think of that, it rather brings you up short. Sometimes it makes you feel pretty terrible to think that you have so gone against God. But more and more there are people who absolutely deny and go against the laws of God. And I meet many who tell me that they are unbelievers. They don't know whether they believe in God or not, or they are downright atheists. How anyone cannot believe in God and still live in this world and see the daily miracles worked in their lives, to think of the function that goes on within this body not made by hands, without any volition of each and every one of us, is more than I can understand. Who do they think keeps all of this universe running in perfect order? Who do they think has put out the moon and the sun for the light of men? The blue skies above, and the gentle rains that fall, and the wind which brings cool air to our brow, and the good earth which provides our food, and to see all of these things growing just from a seed planted in a tilled field, and to see the wonder, the beauty, the miracle of this thing which grew out of that little tiny seed. Did man may have planted the seed, but where did the seed come from? And who makes it grow? He waters it, perhaps. He gives it nourishment, perhaps. But the miracle of that growth within the seed cannot be done by man. He did not make the thorn. He does not bring it above the earth, reaching out for the light. He does not put flowers and fruit on it and the green leaves. He does not bring forth the harvest. He helps through his own efforts. But the miracle of the thing itself evolving out of the seed comes from a superior intelligence, a superior power. When you think of the seed that was planted in your mother's body, and how from that one seed, which was the union between man and woman, which came forth in the flesh of your own body, and then that the flesh, or rather the Word, was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, it says in the Bible. And that Word is God. It is life. It is intelligence. It is that which makes you a living human being. Because the flesh in itself, the body in itself, is nothing. When the spirit leaves this body at the time of physical death, can that body move? Even if somebody puts drink and water and food in it? It can't do one God blessed thing. It is that infinite spirit, by whatever name you want to call it, which we call God, which inhabits every form, which dwells on this earth. And that little seed, which is the union between spirit and nature, has formed your body and mine and every other body and every other thing on this earth. God has done this. How dare we say there is no God, that we do not believe in Him, when we ourselves individually are the living expression of His one being, the separate cells in His one body. When you take the methods that have been given to you for prayer and meditation, and you have gone within yourself doing these things which Christ instructed, to love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, you open up new worlds within yourself. And you find that the spiritual eye is like a telescope that you can look through, and you can see vast worlds that you've never even dreamed existed. You can see the working of all nature. You can see beings on other planes. You can see life forms. You can travel from here to another planet in just seconds. Just seconds. All of this is possible to you if you will do these things. So, does it not behoove us to make this effort? If you do this, then you find within yourself peace. You will become, like St. Francis, an instrument of peace. He went on to say, where there is injury, then we should give pardon. That means to forgive any injury that has been done to you. But you know, it's a strange thing. There are many people who look for trouble, who have so much hate going forth from themselves that they deliberately go out and put a chip on their shoulder and ask for trouble. They give hate and they look for hate. And the reason that they do that is that they expect each individual to say, to think, and to act in the way that they think will make them comfortable. And if that one doesn't perform right to the nth degree, then that one doesn't like them. That one hates them, and therefore they in turn hate. What a terrible thing to do. Now this is the failing of the human ego, which has no reality in God. It is a delusive self, which the Hindus call Maya. It is not a real self at all. It is that self which is spoken of in the Bible, which sits on the throne of God, telling itself, it is God. I do this. I thought this. I developed this. I created this. I say, I think, I do. The great, big, fat, little I. That isn't worth the power to blow it. It isn't for real. God is the only reality, and He is the real you. If you would only realize that and get rid of this false self, get rid of its desires, and there's only one way to do it, and that is to reprogram your whole thinking, your thoughts, your words, and your actions, and to make them positive instead of negative, to reach out for the things that St. Francis put down here so beautifully, to put your full attention upon God alone, and that is to put it upon your real self. When you don't love yourself, your real self, what chance is there for anybody in this world? Most of all you. You have to learn to love yourself. But in order to do that, you have to find that real self, because the little self sometimes is far from lovable. You have to make the effort to reprogram your whole consciousness, your whole way of living, of thinking, of acting, of speaking. Now you may think that's a terrible job, but it isn't. It isn't nearly as difficult a job as it is to carry around the burden of your hatred, of your dislike, of your enmity for other people, of your total unrest, of your total unhappiness, of your total dissatisfaction with yourself, everything and everybody else around you. It isn't nearly as much a burden. If you will empty yourself of everything, of your human self, and lay it at the feet of the Christ, you make an empty room for Him so that He can come in and He can reveal Himself to you in all of His radiant splendor. He can start to govern and control your life so that you don't have the burden, and then everything will come to you. As long as you fail to do your part, there is nothing in this world that will help you. I don't care what it is. Things may go back and forth a little bit, but still, we are wondering, shall I do this or shall I do that? Does this one think this of me or does he think that? Is God going to do this for me or isn't he? God is flowing to us every moment of our lives. He is pouring forth from his infinite storehouse of abundance every single good there is. This applies to the things of the Spirit, to the mind, to the soul, into every phase of our human existence. Everything, everywhere. All of our good awaits us, but we keep it from coming to ourselves because we live in such utter darkness. We don't really want God. We just give lip service, that's all. You must, when you love, contained within that love is the utmost in forgiveness. In fact, you come to the point when you are truly in God that no matter what anyone says, thinks, or does regarding you, it has no effect upon you personally. You are gradually built up to the fact, to the place where you have taken as much as you can humanly, and then God takes over, and somehow there is not even the resistance. There is a feeling of complete disinterest. You are not affected. And yet, you attain the state with this total impersonality of giving greater love than you ever gave before. Because it is divine love. Your human self has been crucified or transformed through the suffering which it has put itself through, and don't blame anybody else for it. And as a result of that, it has opened up your heart. And you are given a greater love. You are given this understanding. You are given compassion. You are given sympathy. And above all, you give divine love and service. And for every kick and bruise and nasty, dirty word that has been given to you, you thank that individual. Because they have done you the greatest service, not meaning to. They have driven you to God. Because in order to grow, you have to have something to push against. That's why we say that we have two forces in this world, good and evil, or positive and negative. And we think of this evil so much, but in truth, there is no evil at all. None. How can we conceive of a God that contains within himself evil? Of a God whom we are told to worship, to love, to adore, who would punish us. There isn't any such thing. We punish ourselves by our own refusal to live in harmony with his laws, to do the things which we have been instructed to do. And nobody, not our fathers, our mothers, our husbands, our wives, our children, or anybody are to blame but ourselves. You can always point the finger at the other fellow, but we write our own destiny upon our own forehead with our own hands. And the higher you go in spiritual consciousness, this opposing force, if you will, and it is a force, but it isn't a bad force, you see. It comes in. And that furnishes the pressure, the resistance that you need to work your way up, because if everything is going along just fine and you have everything the way you want it in the human sense, you will never reach out for anything more than that. Not ever. You will be contented, and yet somehow you will not be contented. You will become satiated with all the things that your desires want and the fulfillment of them, and you will still be reaching out. And no matter how much you have, whether it be money, or cars, or love, or friends, or houses, or jobs, or anything in this world, you will still be reaching out, because you will not be fulfilled by these things. You are still reaching out for that greatest love of all, which contains within itself all things. And that is God within you. And until you find this union with your real self, which is God within you, you will always be hungry. You will always be thirsty. You will always be discontented and unhappy and unfulfilled. And you will never have peace nor contentment. Where there is doubt, then plant the seed of faith. If you do not have faith, then put your mind upon faith. Look it up in the dictionary. See what it means if you can't feel it in your heart. It is a believing that something is so, even though you can't see it and put your hands on it. We all have to start out someplace. There are many who come to me, and some of them are tremendous souls bearing great light. And those that bear the light perhaps see the light in this form, even as I see it in that. But I see it in every form. And there are others who come who are in doubt. They're back and forth and up and down. They believe in the truth which I teach them, yet they don't know if I'm the one to give it to them. The truth is the truth. The fact that it happens to come to you through this body is completely and totally unimportant, because I of myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. But that you believe in God, who also dwells in thee, is very important, even as you must believe that he dwells in every form and beyond. The Christ is in every man. He is not limited to one small body. That infinite spirit is so great that it permeates all the worlds. How could it possibly be contained forever in one physical body? It has been released from that in order that it might be in your consciousness and mine, everywhere equally present, that its great power and intelligence and love might lift men up and stop them from being crawling worms on the ground, and make them instead supermen. Know ye not that ye are gods, said the Christ. And what do we make of ourselves? Grumbling worms, rolling along in the dirt with every filthy thought and word coming out of our mouths sometimes, with all this hatred, this enmity, this thought only of self, never of God, and of God in each other as he commanded us to do. How can we expect good things to come to us if we don't obey these commandments? Where there is despair, hope. There is no such thing as utter despair. When you come to that point, know that you are indeed fortunate. Because when you hit absolute rock bottom, where you've got no place to go, nowhere to go, no one to turn to, and you're turned in on yourself, where you've done everything you know how, whether it be good or bad, and you are totally helpless, then, like Paul on the road to Damascus, you are turned around, and all of a sudden you see the vision of Christ, and you reach out for him, because he is the light which will pick you up off the ground, out of the dust. He is that one which will give you hope and faith and fulfillment again. We have to get down to rock bottom, but you can reach out and you can help a fellow man. And instead of putting your heel on him, you can hold out your hand and say, my brother, I have great love for God in you. What may I do to serve you? What may I do to serve you? And do you think that you do not get a rich reward when you do that? The more I give of everything I am, and I am myself and nothing, but I'm speaking of God within myself, the more I give of everything that he has given me, the more it multiplies. And the reason that is because I am working in harmony with his law. And he knows that I want only to serve him and to serve him in all of those who come before me. And it multiplies and it multiplies so that my coffer is never empty. I can be down to my last dime, and the next day a miracle happens. I get less sleep, I presume to say, than any single one in this room. 3 or 4 hours a night if I'm lucky. I work morning, afternoon, and evening for the Lord, many times till 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And some of you here can bear witness to that, because it is the truth. My life is pressured, it's busy, but I love it, because I'm serving him. And the richness of my reward is beyond description. If we put our own personal pleasures, our own personal desires before our duty to God, shall we say, our love for God, then indeed we are not Christians. We are not the followers of Christ. Where there is darkness, let us give light. Now, in the human sense, all of us are living in the darkness of ignorance. But the light of God, that little spark, is covered up by all of this coal, just like the diamond is hidden in a piece of coal, and the coal has to be removed in order to find this diamond. And so it is with the great light of our soul. If we see someone else walking in darkness, then the greatest thing that we can do is to offer them the light, to take hold of their hands and offer to take them on the path toward the greatest light there is, which is God within themselves, where there is sadness, joy. Don't you see how if instead of all of these negative things that constantly one or another we take into ourselves and make a part of ourselves and use, we would reprogram our minds and our lives and replace its opposite, how tremendous it would be, how successful, how fulfilled, and how filled with joy. How filled with joy. You know, nobody likes somebody that goes around with a long face. Be a smile, millionaire. Walk with a light, springing step, filled with this power, this joy, this light, this bliss of God. And as you walk along the street that way, you will find that eyes will turn towards you. You will feel that you will actually find that people reach out for you. And they will come to you, and sometimes they do to me. Total strangers who sit alongside me and say, I hope you don't mind if I speak to you, but I was compelled by something in you to say something to you. I've had this happen to me several times in the last couple of weeks. And these people had burdens, they had problems. Some of them were very terribly disturbed. I don't even know their names, and they didn't ask for mine, except one or two instances. And yet at the end of the time that I spoke with them, they went away, they had laid their burden, and they had taken peace with them, and hope, and maybe reached out for the light a little bit. And each and every one of us can be a light for God. Let your work so shine before men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is the way to go to God yourself, to make your life well and good and peaceful and successful. Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. What does this really mean? Always we are looking for attention. Always we are looking for sympathy and pity and understanding and consolation and compassion. And the way to get it is to forget yourself in giving consolation to others, in giving understanding to others, compassion, sympathy. In remembrance, in total remembrance of God, comes complete forgetfulness of the little self. God gave me that in meditation a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's one of the most beautiful things that He ever gave me. In total remembrance of God, comes total forgetfulness of the little self. So you don't have to fight anything. You don't have to really make a project of changing these things. But to put your full attention, your remembrance of Him, giving Him divine love and service, putting forth all of these wonderful, good, positive attributes, to be it is not so necessary to be understood as it is to understand. Now, for every individual who comes before you and has a problem, or who mistreats you, instead of looking at the result as a doctor treats a disease, you look for the cause. What made that individual start to act this way? Where is the seat of the problem? And if you're a minister of God, you can't afford to deal with results. You've got to get to the cause. But you've got to work with whatever comes before you, at whatever level. And some people's egos are so great, the human ego, and so terribly sensitive that they can't bear to have you flicker an eyelash at them. And you have to walk on eggshells with them. And sometimes flatter this little ego, cater to this little ego, while gradually trying to take them out of it and give them something else which is so much greater that they have no idea about it. Until you can build them to that point of strength where you can perhaps give them a double whammy and really kick that opposing force out of you. I always remember that when I was in India one night, advocate of the High Court who was visiting Papa, and he was quite an elderly man, and he almost seemed like he was possessed. He just couldn't stop taking out after Papa. No matter what Papa tried to say, he was in there, he was insulting him, he was criticizing, he was doing all these things. And Papa, in his blissful state, didn't pay much attention to any part of it. He just went on about his business. But each time, the man would come up, and he would kneel in front of Papa in spite of all of this. And so one night when he did it, he'd been giving Papa a particularly bad time. He had a towel on his shoulder because it was very warm, and he used it to wipe his brow and his neck and whatnot. And he knelt before Papa. Papa looked at him, and he sort of screwed his face up, and all of a sudden he just whammed him right on the shoulder as hard as he could, as though he was knocking that evil force out of him. And you know, it's a funny thing, but that man changed. The next day, I felt that I should be able to find the key to him myself. And so, in spite of what he was doing around and saying, I'd go up and I'd talk to him, and I'd take hold of his hand, and I'd be friends with him, and speak to him of God. And so, the only other time he said anything afterwards was the next night. And I was standing alongside of him, and he took hold of my hand, and he said to Papa, "Look at her," he said. "She always gives me love. She understands me," as though Papa hadn't all the time. Poor Papa had been taking the beating. But I got all of this praise and glory, which I didn't deserve, except that I did offer him my friendship. I did love God inside of him. But the change came in that man, and he became a completely different person. Don't you realize what it is, who that one is, if you want to put a label on him and give him form and substance? That is the man with the horns that is inside of you. And like when Jesus was tempted on the mountain, say to him when he does these things, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot tempt me. Thou shalt not put false gods before me." And all the things of the world that we cater to, that we look to, and our pleasures that make us happy and contented, these are false gods. It isn't that you may not enjoy all of these things, but you must put God first, and he will give you in great abundance every single thing that you need. It is not so important to be loved as it is to love. When you can come to that point, where no matter what anybody says, thinks, or does to you, love God inside of them. And sometimes the greatest sinners, the ones who kick you, who crucify you, who insult you, who spit upon you, you love them the most because believe me, they need it. What they are doing to themselves is a terrible thing. They need it more than anybody. But they will take it, they'll reject it, they'll throw it back in your face. But keep on loving them and do the necessary. Because there comes a time for the individual's own good that you don't go around all sweetness and life. Instead, you use the love of the crucible, which is, again, to give them a good swift swap, or to ignore them, or to let them know that you too are a child of God and you have your rights as a human being. Because you can't let people walk over you. You are entitled to your place in the sun. Each man is, each woman is. But no man is an island, and we have to remember that each and every one of us are strung like beads on the rosary of spirit. We are all brothers because we are children of the one Father God. It isn't so great to receive something, because it is in giving that we receive the greatest gift of all. And it is those who give without thought of giving that whatever they have, whatever they are, pours out of them in a bountiful fashion with no thought of that which they give, because it is their nature to give. They are one with God. They know that of themselves they are nothing, they have nothing. And that God makes it possible to do all things, and whatever they have, it is His. He has let them use it. And they may use it because it's His good pleasure to give them all of the good things of the kingdom. But they may not say, "It is just mine." To be attached, to possess, these are the crimes. To have and to use and to enjoy is no crime. But to be possessed by it and attached to it, this is the snare in the whole thing. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That's a strange statement, isn't it? It doesn't mean the death of the physical body at all. It means the death of that little self, that desire nature. It is in the death of that self, of the human ego, that we are born again in the Spirit. Unless you are born again, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. And that second birth must come to each and every one of us. It isn't taking anything away from us. It is giving us the everythingness of God. And don't forget that God made everything on this earth that makes possible for you to have all the pleasures and the enjoyments and the rest of it. So why not reach out for the highest there is, so that you won't be wanting in any department of your life, mentally, spiritually, physically, anyway, emotionally. Reach out for that greatest, and He will solve every problem, and He will fill every single need without exception. To love Him with all your mind is to have your consciousness ever fixed upon Him. You say, how can I do that when I have a job to hold down? But as I've explained to you before, that's the path of karma yoga, the law of cause and effect. As you sow, so shall you reap, said Jesus. And it means that you do every single thing that you do, not for yourself, not for your family, not for your employer, but for God alone. That keeps your mind on God. And that is also a tremendous form of meditation. With all of your soul. That means with all of your individual self you worship God. With all of your strength, that means with everything that you have in you, every speck of strength, you worship God. You cannot possibly fail in any department of your life if you will put this into effect. Seek ye first God and His kingdom, that one simple thing, instead of all the claptrap in between. Seek ye first God and His kingdom, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. And when it speaks of, what think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, he is the son of David. Now in the Bible dictionary, the word David means love. So Christ is the son of love. And love is a part of the Christ. He is his very nature. All of these universes came out of the bosom of God in love. They were created through love. And so, therefore, when David, who is love, speaks of the Lord, even though it says that the Christ is his son, he knows that the Lord, God Almighty, was before love. But it also is all love. In other words, there was an existence, and contained within that existence is perfect love. And that's the only place in this whole wide world that you will ever find perfect love. You will have many loves. And each one will build like stairs on a ladder or steps. And each one is different. And each one perhaps seems greater than any other one. And you become more attached to that one. And then comes the heartbreak of separation in some form or other, perhaps. This doesn't always happen, but I'm just taking care of all of the eventualities. And yet with each experience, you learn a little bit more. You become a little more in control of yourself, master of yourself. Until you come to the point where you realize beyond any question of a doubt that that which you had reached out for, that which you had been seeking all of your life, was the infinite beloved. That one who dwells within your soul. That eternal bridegroom waiting for you, who are to be his bride in the marriage of soul and spirit, the oneness of God eternal. These are the things which make life beautiful. I ask you to reprogram your lives. I keep talking about this all the time and approaching it in different ways. But do please just that one simple thing of seeking first God and His kingdom, and you do that within yourself. Of being what you should be in God. Of stop thinking about yourself and hold out a helping hand to forgive your enemies, because your enemies are your greatest friends. To do everything that you need to do to become clean and whole and pure, and above all, to be free men and women in God, because you
will never be free as long as you are bound by this human ego. Seek the splendor of your being, the radiance of God's presence, and you will live in the eternal bliss of that one which is your very self. Now let us pray to him. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom.
And the power and the glory forever.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen. O Heavenly Father,
open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere. Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father,
may thy love shine forever.
Upon
the sanctuary of my devotion.
May
I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
And take them to thee.